The law of God convicts us of our sin and shows us our need for repentance. And God's word also teaches how we are to live in holiness, honoring our Lord with our deeds. God's will for life this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. These are the words of God. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have completely been defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. We sing of your loving kindness, O Yahweh, forever. We will make known your faithfulness with our mouths. Build up your loving kindness forever, for you have established your faithfulness in the heavens. We praise you that you've established your seed forever. Build up your throne to all generations. May the heavens praise your wonders. We praise you for your faithfulness in the assembly of the saints. Exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, in heaven and on earth. We pray you'd give help to your people, that you would anoint us by your Spirit. Strengthen us in your Son. Keep your people from the deception of the enemy. Strike down those who hate you. Keep us in your faithfulness and loving kindness, and exalt your name. Keep us in your loving kindness forever. Confirm your covenant in us, O Lord. Establish the descendants of your people forever, and the throne of your Son over heaven and earth. We praise you, O Father, that we come into your presence this morning with your people. We thank you that you speak to us in your word. We pray that by your Spirit you'd open our ears and give us hearing. Open up our minds and give us understanding. Open up our hearts and give us love. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed, let us prepare our souls with joyful song. Let us stand together and sing hymn 178, Away in a Manger. Let us stand together. Our sermon text this morning is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Philippians 3, 1 through 21, brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Philippians 3, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, blameless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ, as mentioned, today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and it is also Christmas Eve. We remember and we celebrate the waiting for the coming of the King this morning, and tonight we'll return to celebrate His arrival, the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God's people and all of creation awaited the one who would right all the wrongs of the world. The Son of God would come to address sin. The Son of God would come to reconcile mankind to God. And He would come to reconcile people with one another. And the Son of God would come to establish God's earthly rule. The people looked forward to His coming. And when He arrived, there was rejoicing. There was celebration. Christmas is joyful because God sent the greatest gift He could give. God gave Himself to mankind. Now we like to say Jesus is the reason for the season. And we also like to say Jesus is the greatest gift anyone could receive. These are both true. What else could anyone truly want than to know God? For this is eternal life, knowing God and the Son whom He sent, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we were created to know God. In Christmas, we celebrate the arrival of the Son of God. We celebrate Jesus. As Christians, we rejoice that God has called us to Himself in His Son. We have God. Despite all our sin, we have the object of true affection, the object of true joy, Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul here in Philippians 3, though not preaching a Christmas message, made a Christmas point in this passage. And that Christmas point is that Jesus is the greatest gift. Jesus is the highest prize. And Paul did this by stacking up all his earthly accomplishments. And he stacked them up over against Jesus. And we hear this, verses 4 through 6. Paul wrote, "Though I myself have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more." And here they are. Paul says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, a persecutor of the church. As for righteousness, blameless." Those are Paul's earthly identities. All of them, except for the persecution part, are fine. They're fine accomplishments. Paul, again, aside from the persecution, all of them, Paul need not be embarrassed by them. Need not be embarrassed that he's an Israelite, a Hebrew, a Benjamite. Earthly accomplishments can be good things. God can bless us in such a way. Perhaps you're smart. You're successful in business. Or you're a successful farmer. Perhaps you have a big family. You have nice possessions. Though there's no reason to be ashamed of that. Those are blessings from God. The difference is what Paul says in verse 7. "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." All those earthly accomplishments are nothing compared to Jesus. They are secondary. Jesus is primary. He is Lord over all. He's Lord over all our accomplishments. He's Lord over all, or he's not Lord at all. Jesus is Lord of creation. And he's Lord of our lives, including all those accomplishments, including our careers, including our families. Jesus is Lord. So if my family identity, if my career become more important to me than my covenant relationship with God, that is idolatry. And Paul actually uses a pretty strong word here. Our NIV Bibles translate it rubbish. Paul considered everything compared to Jesus as rubbish. And that's softened a little bit. Boys and girls, do you know what word that really is? Not rubbish. It's dung. It's poop. Boys and girls, when you're driving home from church today and mom and dad ask you, what did the preacher talk about? He talked about poop, mom and dad. The preacher talked about poop. That's literally what the word is. So Paul says, all my earthly accomplishments, everything I have, if I don't have Christ, it is poop. I'm really tempted to use stronger language than that, but I won't. Use your imagination. Throw it all away. Throw it all away. If you choose some earthly identity, some earthly possession or status as more important in your life than Jesus, you lose. If I choose to identify myself earthly, anything over against my identity in Jesus, I choose dung. My life would be dung if I pick anything over Jesus. God gave of himself in creation. He made mankind in his image and his likeness. And Adam chose sin over obeying God. What did Adam choose? And in God's grace, he came, and he was born as a human to bring us back to God. We are restored to a relationship with God. We have Him back again. We have the prize again. We have Jesus again. And He's better than anyone or anything. At Christmas time, perhaps tonight, perhaps tomorrow, we enjoy the presents. We love giving presents. And perhaps some of you might enjoy opening your own presents. You might like to get them too. That's okay. Maybe a little. There's nothing wrong with presents. There's nothing wrong with enjoying time with family and friends. We can enjoy food. We can enjoy fellowship. The Christmas cheer and all that comes with Christmas are good and glorious things. Even shopping can be okay. Even in our heavily commercialized culture, that's okay. But if any of it becomes primary over Jesus, it's a waste. We're idolizing. We're choosing created things over the Creator. So, in Jesus, we have the gift. We have the greatest prize. We have our Lord. Let's pause there. The kids come forward for the children's message, please. Can I see your eyes up here, please? Your eyes? Good job. Can I see your eyes? Good job. All right, pay attention. Good morning. Merry Christmas. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good job. You know, Evan, I was going to say, with the fire, I think that was a test of faith, that you would drop down to your knees and pray that God would send fire from heaven to light the candle. Or it might have just been a test for your dad to have another backup lighter on him. All right, let's do a little test. I'll do a review. Let's see where we are. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what does Advent mean? Do you know? Coming. The coming of the Lord. Raise your hand if you were going to say that. Coming of the Lord. You'd be right. Good job. So hands down. So the coming of the Son of God. His first coming. Now show me with your thumbs. Will Jesus come again? Will there be a second coming of Jesus? Will He come again? Yes? No? You're right. He will come. He will come again. So Jesus came. He was born as a person. He was born as a baby. And He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Now raise your hand if you have at home presents waiting for you to be opened. Who has presents at home right now? Okay. Do you have presents? Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you're excited and looking forward to opening presents. It's okay. You can raise your hand. All right. That's good. Okay. Hands down. Now, when you open your presents, show me with your thumbs. Yes or no? Is it okay to be happy about your presents? Yeah. Is it okay to play with your presents if you get toys? If you get clothes, nice Christmas clothes, is it okay to play to wear them? Yeah. If you do that, does that dishonor God? No, it doesn't dishonor God. Now, here's the tricky part. Is it okay to love your presents more than God? Show me through thumbs. You're all right. You're right. Is that an easy question?
Yeah.
What's the greatest commandment? Who can raise their hand and remind us? What is the greatest commandment? Caleb?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Very good. So love God first. Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your mind, love God with all your soul, and love God with all your strength, your bodies. And that means more than presents. Is that hard? Some of our presents are pretty cool. Who can raise your hand? Give me an example of a really good present you've received before. What's a really good present that you've received? Paige, can you give me an example?
Legos.
Legos. That would be the ultimate test of temptation. Raise your hand if you love Legos more than God. I'm going to ask the question again, kids. Raise your hand if you love Legos more than God. More than God. More than God. No, right? We don't love Legos more than God. How about dolls and stuffed animals? How about video games? Do we love those more than God? How about movies? Christmas cookies? No. We do not love them more than God. Can we love them? Is it okay to love our toys and our gifts? Yeah, who gives those blessings to us? Aubrey? God. So He wants us to enjoy them. Does He want us to enjoy them so much that we forget about them? Does He want us to enjoy them so much we say, I don't love You anymore, God, I love the present. No. We love God more than the gifts. Love the gifts, but love God more. Okay? Can you fold hands? Let's pray. Close eyes and say my words after me. Father in heaven, thank You for Your love in giving us Your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, to love You more than anything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you get back to your seats. Good job. Jesus is the greatest gift. Jesus is to be desired over all created things, all earthly relationships, all earthly accomplishments. And this is a really important point for us to remember, an important principle to live by. Because as great as blessings can be, people, things, identities, as great as they can be, those things can fail us. On purpose or not, created things can fail us. We can lose a job. We can have relationships that are strained with family, friends. We can have a relationship that's completely severed. People can let us down. That happens. You can get sick. You can be persecuted. You can lose everything you hold dear. And when that happens, what will you cling to? What will bring you through the hard times? If you have a hardship in life, what makes life worth living? The gospel of Jesus Christ, becoming a Christian, isn't that God will take away all our cares and difficulties. That's not what the gospel is. The gospel is not that life is easy with Jesus. The gospel is that having Jesus makes all our cares and difficulties worth it. If you lose your job, if people let you down, if you get sick, you still have Jesus. Paul here, he lost everything. But he still had Jesus. So he pressed on. As his closest friends and family abandoned Paul, he was still in service to Jesus. Verse 12, Paul wrote, "Not that I've already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me." So Paul pressed on for the prize of the Lord. Paul pressed on to be with the Lord forever. Now, I've already made the point of the kids that Jesus is the greatest gift we have received. Yet Paul pressed on to be with Jesus. So the question is, do we have Jesus now? Or are we trying to attain to be with Jesus? Is eternal life a gift we have now? Or is eternal life a gift for which we press on? And the answer is yes. Yes, Jesus is the greatest gift we receive by grace. God gives us Himself. God says, "Here, sinful people, I bring you back into relationship with me. We have that right now. It's a present reality. We can talk to God. We can worship Him in the heavenlies. We are righteous in this sight, as He declared to us this morning in His Word. We have all that right now. But the fully realized gift we receive at the end. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. When Jesus returns in His second advent, His second coming, He will fully restore everything. And we'll receive the full and perfect gift. We know we have all those blessings now. We know that we have Jesus right now. We know God accepts us right now. But we know we have something better. Something better coming. We have a taste of heaven right now in worship. We worship God in His holy presence this morning with His people, with the triumphant saints, the angels and archangels. And we know that when we ascend into heaven in our death, we know that'll be better. We know when God brings heaven and earth together in full consummation of the kingdom, we know it'll be better. So we live by faith now, looking forward. We press on. We persevere to get to that point, to get to that gift, to get to that prize. Verse 14, Paul wrote, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now this pressing on, this persevering, isn't to say we don't already have the gift, that we don't know the Lord. It's that the Lord is not done with us. Remember from Philippians 2, verse 12, Paul wrote, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We have work to do. Does that give you the willies? It ought not. It's in the Bible. So how do we do that? Verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. We have a destination. God is conforming us to the image of His Son. We are growing in the faith. God is bringing us to maturity from glory to glory. We obey God more. We love our neighbors more. We serve the kingdom more because He's working through us. And through all our working, God builds us up. For the destination He has for all of us is to become more and more like Jesus. We have Jesus, and He brings us to Jesus. Jesus is the gift that we receive. He is the destination for which we strive. And He is the one who works in us and through us. It's all Jesus. That's why He's the answer to every Sunday school question, right? Don't think this is something we have to earn. For God is working in us. The Spirit of Christ sanctifies us. We become more like Jesus. So the season of Advent and into Christmas, enjoy. Enjoy the gift of the Son of God. Praise God for His saving grace. Celebrate the coming of the King. Celebrate the birth of our Savior with church, with loved ones, with our brothers and sisters. And recognize the gift with humility, with faith. We don't deserve Jesus. But our God is gracious and kind. The Father sent the Son in love to redeem us, to bring us back to Himself, to give us eternal life. So respond in faith. Be thankful. Be joyful. Be faithful. You are the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And He's at work in you. You're not a finished product. God is growing you into something. He's growing you into someone. Don't blush that God is doing something in you and through you. We know we're not perfect. But you heard this morning, He's making us perfect. So be perfect. He's conforming us to the perfect man, Jesus Christ, the God-man. So don't be complacent. Don't rest on that reality. Well, nobody's perfect. Strive and rejoice in the privilege that the Spirit is working in you. Brothers and sisters, you have divinity working in you and through you. Not just flesh and blood. The Spirit of the living God is changing you. God loves you and cares enough about you that He doesn't leave you in weakness and sin. He grows you up. So respond in faith, grow up, and press on, persevere for the prize we have in Jesus, for His sake. Amen. Let us pray.